So I just want to make sure everything looks okay because I sort of like dimmed my setup because there was a lot of sunlight coming in the window. And yeah, direct sunlight and Kelly have a known incompatibility, kind of like Skype and the internet. So I just want to make sure everything looks all right.
Yeah, it'd
Yeah?
be all right if Skype didn't need the internet to run, wouldn't it?
Can I start yet?
Fine.
I've already
Well,
pressed record.
if you must.
It's the big show! Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Yes, we're here to discuss the week's technology news. A fantastic, eclectic mix of people who know loads about it and the rest of us. I've been a little bit out of the tech world this week, it has to be said. I've been working very hard editing video for someone who's far more focused than I am and crapping themselves. But I've got a great bunch of people here to discuss the tech news of the week, starting with James Hart.
Good evening, Ewan. Good evening, listener.
How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Yes, bit of sunshine today. Spring looks like it's on the way. By the weekend, this weekend or next weekend, we'll be in the right time zone and everything will be fine.
You know it's supposed to snow tomorrow, right?
Oh, White Easter. Are.
Sorry, dude.
Oh, crikey.
And here on Saturday.
Don't like that. Not talking about it anymore.
Okay, right. Sun's coming. It's going to be fine. Someone who does know about tech, fortunately, is Tom Merritt. How you doing, mate?
Oh, I thought you were going somebody else. Good. How are you?
Yeah, excellent, mate. How's life on tech news today?
It's lovely. Now that Skype has upgraded, it's totally borked my entire setup that I call in from at Los Angeles, and so it's been nothing but headaches every morning to get on the air.
I reckon it's probably just purely Leo that they're trying to screw because that he uses Skype all the time, and
sometimes it feels that way.
The
right?
Rest of us are irrelevant, yeah. But he just yeah. Beneath Tom, we've got Sarah. How you doing, girl?
I'm very well, thank you. It's the rest of us that are also reliant on Skype, sadly.
Still not got alcohol, though.
No, I'm not going to risk it.
Just in case.
Ooh, my camera looks a bit out of focus.
Who was
well.
The one? Who was the one that swelled up in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Augustus Gloop.
Augustus Gloop, there you go. Violet Beauregard. No, it wasn't she the
no,
Blackberry?
It was Violet Beauregard.
Violet.
Oh, wasn't
yeah.
Violet. She went purple, didn't she?
Because of the gum,
yes.
It was purple.
That's
oh,
right.
Yeah. Oh, Augustus was already pot. Swollen. He got stuck in a pipe.
So if you take ibuprofen and you have alcohol, maybe that causes you to swell.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, does it be swell?
I find an excess of food causes me to do that.
Over a period of time, of course. next to Sarah, Jeff, Gamet, how you doing, mate? Gamet. As long as it's not French.
You know, like you're swearing.
Yeah, it's so not French, and yes, like you're swearing, and I'm really glad that you've learned how to spell my name. I feel so much closer to you now.
I actually got it right last week on the tweet and on
totally
the show
did.
Description, and I've learnt my lesson. I completely missed Carl off again, but at least I spelt your name correctly.
You know, I don't care. You got my name right,
yeah,
so stuff whatever.
It. He's very kindly transferred onto the Mac show tomorrow because we've made room this evening. Carl stepped aside. You need to send @claw0101 a big thank you, Kelly, because you are on the big show because of
Yay!
Him.
Yay!
Yeah. How you doing, girl?
Not bad, hopefully.
How was the thing in Guatemala that you can't talk about?
You can see bits and pieces of it on the internet, but
really
other
good
than
clean
that,
not a
not
clean shot
say
then.
Else.
Not a clean
really?
Shot then, no?
You know, there's only so much I can tell you, and I certainly can't say it while we're recording.
Okay.
And the rest of it, well, when she tells you, she'll have to kill you.
If those of you who haven't listened to the Mac show last week, Kelly is the head of the CIA Black Ops Division in Portland, in Oregon.
Pretty much.
So. If you didn't listen to the Mac show, the celebrations that Will Green did Will Green put a podcast out. It was a minute and 23 seconds
and
long. I felt robbed.
And he stole my line about the sun never sets on British Tech Network. Thieving bastard.
Yeah, that was a bit underwhelming and wrong, wasn't it? Come on, Will Green, if you're listening.
Yes, apparently. The Week in Tech. What's been happening? I got an email from Rose Matthews. Who I gather you know, Jeff.
Ah, my dear sweet Rose. I miss Rose. She's just awesome.
Right. Apparently, there's been a survey, because this is the last week we're going to do this, okay, because this is the third week in a row, but the sex in space thing has rumbled on. And the sex in space thing, Rose is in Australia, and she sent us a link that says a study that's been done by some researchers has said that sex in space could actually kill you.
You know, I'm willing to give it a shot just to see what happens.
No,
and if I die,
at least I can say, you know what? I died having sex in space.
No. New research suggests that space fornication could ruin your health. The thing that they did it on plants.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say. The research found that when gravity becomes weak, it affects the development of the pollen tube in plants.
Exactly. So your pollen tube, Tom, could become clogged.
And that doesn't sound good, but I want that research to be done on at least a mammal.
Now, as you guys know, the whole adult industry has spearheaded technological change. The fact that there aren't adult movies being made in space really does say something, doesn't it?
It speaks volumes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
They keep getting their pollen tubes stuck.
All it tells me is that they haven't been able to book the time on Spaceship One yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, they couldn't go up on Virgin.
Not yet.
No, that would be completely inappropriate.
And for some of us, our pollen tube hasn't been cleared in years. Thank you. Red has released a super player. This thing will process and send to your TV 4K, even if you can't play it anyway. No word on price, no word on availability, but it's got Red written on the side.
But it's a thing.
It's a thing, and it's shiny, but it's not shiny because it's black. And it's
Do
not
you know
evil,
how
actually?
Big a television you need to be able to actually get any benefit from Ultra HD? And yes, size does matter. You need to have a television that's at least 80 inches. Anything smaller and your eye cannot distinguish anything different between that and 1080p.
I want to know what that aerial is at the back. Because if that Wi-Fi is not going to be fast enough on the stream, surely.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. Communicated with the mothership, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
That does look frightening, actually. The little red eye in the middle. That's not nice.
It's got a certain Terminator-y thing, hasn't it?
It is.
USB drives and SD cards to deliver the movies.
Yeah. So you put in your pirated copy of The Hobbit in 4K, and it says, I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
And then it opens the podbay doors, and you get sucked out into space.
Big buffer. Big buffer.
Yeah. Now you have to call Red support. Yeah, so it's gone full Daisy on me. I don't know what to do.
Galaxy Note S3 Galaxy Note 3 has been debuted in the States. It comes with a contacty, touchy penny thing, and
that's what they call it.
Yeah, Sarah would have it.
Official term: contacty, touchy penny thing.
That's that. I think that was it. Yeah, absolutely. Sky Sports is yours for a tenner if you want to buy it on a pay as you go basis for 24 hours. So if you want the F1, Sarah, it's only going to cost you $10 for a day. That's a rip-off. Good God.
It's outrageous.
And I'm reliably informed that Croydon Central, is it?
Yeah.
Croydon Central. Gavin Barwell has discovered that what his cookies are for and why they need really strong regulation, because he took the piss out of a Labour press release saying that dates for Arabic women in there were stretching it a little bit to try and get funds. And they replied, don't you know that actually came from your own cookies, Gavin? Well, they didn't say that, but it was words to that effect. And he's been unavailable for comment, apparently, since. He's a married father of two from West Croydon, and his wife's got some really serious questions.
Yeah, one.
Most people saw an ad for a Samsung S3 Mini, but not Gavin.
No.
There was Mini involved, but it had nothing to do with that.
Possibly.
Apparently, Samsung had a launch of some domestic products in South Africa, and that didn't go down particularly well either. Scantily clad women crawling all over fridges. Way to alienate your audience.
Huh.
Oh, well.
You know, yeah, because a refrigerator is one of the most phallic objects I can think of.
Well, no, the symbolism.
My pollen tube isn't clogged now.
That'll clear it right up.
There you go.
Oh, my God. Apparently in Scotland, the Orthodox Church has suggested that Jedis could be cleared to perform marriages.
Woohoo!
Which...
This is not the bride you're looking for.
Oh, ah, good man, good man. I thought they could get to the end of the sentence. That's good. I was thinking of lines, and I got to the end of, like, when the ceremony's finished, you could see the groom turning to the bride and going, I have you now.
It's a forced wedding.
Well, at least that's
good.
The bride and saying, forced wedding. I am your father.
Yeah, that only happens in Kentucky.
No, there's special dispensation. It can happen in Alabama, too.
Isn't Kentucky affiliated to the French?
Aunt Mom. What?
Isn't Kentucky affiliated to the French?
Here's hoping.
No, hopefully not.
No, you're thinking Louisiana.
And
Louisiana is still pissed off that France sold them back to the United States.
They were paid for. Good grief.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Well, and in the United States, you can get ordained pretty much for anything.
It doesn't have to be the United States. Anywhere in the world, you can get ordained. It's just a matter of whether or not anything that you do in your ordainified capacity is something that gets recognized by anybody else.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, you can get ordained online and then your marriages count in the U.S. So I don't know what's going on with the Jedi.
Hey, we got druids. We win.
Druids.
I'd like to point out that I am ordained, real? And if anybody does want to get married, I'm more than happy to do so.
Oh, wouldn't that be cool?
Me too.
Yeah. And in Colorado, all I have to do is say, I am ordained, and now I can marry you. No kidding. So if anyone wants to get married,
so
and I have a wedding ceremony before, so come on out, people. I'll get y'all hitched up.
Is that, this ordainified, does that mean that there's ordainification? No?
Well, we can live in hope.
Sure.
We've had ordainification going on today, haven't we, Ewan?
I performed a wedding last summer.
Really?
Oh, yes, of course, the new Archbishop of Canterbury's been ordainified. He got that off the internet. Ewan, by the way, the video's gone, mate.
Really?
Yeah.
It's
probably Justin TV monitoring what
absolutely.
I thought it was just a demonstration of the black mood of coordination.
It's a nice day for a black wedding.
Oh, God. If there's one thing we've got to do this year is get rid of sodding Justin TV.
That should do Ewan.
They have been good at Skype gods.
We're still recording. Don't worry about it. But
now everybody gets adverts.
This is a mid-show interlude. Someone asked. It's intermission. Let's all go to the lobby.
There we go. We're back. We should be back.
Go to the lavvy.
I thought she was saying so, James.
And if you work for the Syrian government and you want to hack, then, of course, the logical place that you would want to hack is the BBC weather feed on Twitter.
No, that makes funny, sense. Though,
It
totally makes sense. And here's why. Because every day when someone leaves their flat in London, they check the weather first. They see it's going to rain. They take an umbrella. Change it so that it says it's going to be sunny. And... No, it's not working. Assuming
that's not really terrorism, that's just pissing people off.
Are you reading these, though? Saudi weather station down due to head-on collision with camel.
Yeah, I know. I did see them. Yeah. Another one about, it's something in Edinburgh. I can't remember what it was, but it was cool.
It's a real shame that they put that it's been hijacked, because otherwise they would have thought that the meteorologists were all getting high.
It's a scandal. Awesome.
People would have watched and been like, it'd go viral. Oh, what's the crazy weather thing today? That would have been awesome.
Scandal. Edinburgh storm warning station decommissioned after maintenance fund diverted into arming Syrian opposition. Hazardous fog warning for North Syria. Erdogan orders terrorists to launch chemical weapons at civilian areas. I think that's probably to disperse the fog. But we'll
chaotic
see.
Weather forecast for Lebanon as government decides to distance itself from the Milky Way.
Those aren't protest hacks. That's just people having fun hacks. Yeah. They may try to claim they're from Syria.
There's
or
no
something.
Agenda. That's just because you can. It's like here we have the big signs that sit by the side of the road, and they say like left lane closed or construction ahead, and they basically all have this really easy lock to get into, so that you can. Change whatever the wording is, and there's like an admin password that's like admin or something.
Oh yeah,
and they just leave them all the same, and so people were getting into them and hacking them to say like zombies ahead.
Yeah. I thought it said 16 miles to the Love Shack.
I think it got in Boulder and changed it to say Dalek only- crossing ahead. Nice. Yeah. I thought it was absolutely awesome.
Yeah, there's every once in a while you'll find one that's. Like, it happened in Portland. There, we were driving into town and like we see this sign and I looked over and I'm like, wait, what? And I looked again and it said zombies ahead. I'm like,
nice.
I don't know what happened, but I do and don't want to tell anybody that this is happening.
Oh no, you don't want to. Absolutely, no, I don't want to tell anybody. Unless of course it's warning of a really serious hazard ahead, and then you kind of want to think. Yeah, maybe not.
If it were actual zombies, I would feel.
Yeah, that's true.
Of course,
you'd have something. Yeah,
Syrian there were zombies ahead, and mine just said road construction. I was pissed.
I hate when that happens.
Caution, Syrian embassy in the middle of the road. We've had some reviews.
Just very quickly, Ewan, on the Twitter thing, I note that there was a tweet went out. You know, HMV have been closing their stores left, right and centre. The guy who got kicked out of HMV Grimsby still had the password and wrote, I've still got the password for this account. Boobies. And then the account was removed, which is a real shame.
Oh, man.
Thank you, mate. Totally good. And Twitter's 7 years old today, which is what that was about. Happy birthday. Done. Happy birthday, Twitter.
Jackson's age.
All right, so it's Twitter's cake day. Awesome.
Now, what's your Twitter number? James, you're pretty early. You're like 4-7 million or something like that.
I was one of the first million to use Twitter. Beth was one of, I think, the first 200,000. She's she was about 4 months in when Twitter was conceived. So, I think I'm around about 800,000. Actually, you can find from your RSS feed, can't you, I think?
Yeah, if you click on it, it tells you your number. Yeah. But
you click on where? Sorry, click on...
Yeah, you click on your profile on the Twitter app.
October, on Halloween, 2007. I am user 9,828,542.
Okay, so that's pretty high.
Where is he exactly?
I'm 17 million, so I'm well out, but...
Yeah,
I don't see where you see it.
750.
I'm on the
first
website.
On your if you've got the Twitter app, all you've got to do is click on your picture and it tells you what number it is.
App. Oh, all right.
Oh, yeah.
No, the Twitter app tells you dead easy, but it tells you on the web as well. But yeah.
I joined in January 2007.
Does this mean Twitter can now have solid food? Says the chat room.
Yes, it still needs to sit in a booster seat in the car, but that's okay.
Mark Shepherd says he's got a Chrysler and it's as big as a whale.
Yes,
I bet it's about to set sail.
That was bad.
Find your Twitter ID.
Yeah.
Also, someone check his tin roof.
We've had some reviews. Jack Davis has written in. He said, "I mainly listen to US podcasts, and this show is a great companion to get the UK angle on tech stories." And Herdy5 says, "A brilliant mix of serious chat and banter. Great selection of panelists. Also, if you like your tech and having a good laugh." Then this is a show for you, which is us all over. So, we're going to start the laugh off with... This week in Marissa Meyer. Yes, this week in Marissa Meyer. What's Marissa been up to? Well, apparently...
Well, she still hasn't called me for a date.
Really?
Bitch.
Steady on, steady on.
She has a new mother.
That she's a new mother. Is that a word for it? No?
Yeah, so that means she has a husband that can take care of the baby. So, fine.
Why isn't she calling already? No, Marissa has gone out and bought herself a startup, hasn't she? This week? Or is it a startup?
Yeah, it's called Yahoo.
Yahoo. She's gone and bought Jibe to bring engineers back into the fold. She's particularly focusing on the internet and mobile applications. Anyone got anything to read into that, or is it just this week in Marissa Meyer?
Well, I would say that Yahoo were probably... they're doing what almost all the other companies have been doing for years. Google have been buying companies, using them, spitting the products out and keeping the engineers. Twitter has been really big on that. If you consider Postgres is going and they're just taking in-house the people who used it, it's what everybody has been doing, but Yahoo are finally getting on the bandwagon. That's my opinion.
I mean, this is the thing, is we always have this conversation each week about what Marissa's done, and it's a joke now, and we'll probably start to finish doing this slot soon because it's getting a bit boring. But, you know, the Marissa Meyer effect, as far as Yahoo's concerned, there's a lot of people, including us, because otherwise it wouldn't be funny each week, is looking to what Marissa's doing to reinvigorate Yahoo, and is the answer to follow everyone else and just blunder into the mobile folder? Or is she going to come out with something completely different?
I saw an article that said she's done all these things so far, but nobody actually knows what her plan is. Nobody. She hasn't told us what the strategy is.
She should be Apple then.
Well, that's true. maybe that's her strategy, is to be a bit like Apple as well. She's just basically creaming off all the ideas everybody else has got. Going, oh, try that one. That's how she talks.
Tom, any thoughts? She's from Norfolk, I agree.
All right,
I do be trying to get Yahoo back on its feet this week.
That'd be from the West Country, that'd be.
Tom, have you got any thoughts on Marissa? Whether she's the belle of the ball or whether she's just going to be out in another 6 months?
Yeah, I think it's kind of tough with Marissa with all these eyes on her all the time, over-analyze every move. I mean, buying Jibe, you get five people. That's how many people worked for Jibe. They were former Yahoo employees who had gone off to do a startup. What? So talented people. And they do recommendations, which would be very useful on the Yahoo homepage. And they do mobile apps, which Yahoo has crap for mobile apps right now. They are absolute rubbish. Mm. So any help on the mobile app scene, this isn't just blundering into the mobile strategy. This is creating a mobile strategy. And maybe like getting the Flickr app, which is the only one that's even halfway decent, to be something that people would really want to have and download. So this I think this is a pretty minor acquisition, but it all makes sense to me.
Do you see Marissa as being someone that you look at and think she's got a real talent to maybe make a change, or it's just a, you know, this could be a bit of also ran?
No, so far she seems to be the kind of person that has the vision that no one at Yahoo has had since Jerry Yang, you know, stopped running the company the first time. And she hasn't done anything really horrible except for that work from home stunt that we talked about. So I think, you know, that was probably a chance to get rid of some deadwood. I'd say overall she's going in the right direction. And the fact that she hasn't told us exactly which way she's going may be a good thing, you know? Maybe don't tell all your competitors exactly what you're doing so they can tromp all over you.
Well, that said though, to be honest with you, what they need to do is a bloody good keynote in a Steve Jobs way where Marissa comes out and just wows everybody. And maybe she'll do the just one more thing.
I'm sorry to sound ultra misogynistic, but there's nothing wrong with the fact that she's easy on the eye, and why not trot her out and do a more of a PR process? Well, with
how long has she been CEO?
Seven months. No. I'm not. I said this sounds misogynistic, but it's not meant to be, Kelly. Please don't, before you kill me. As CEO go, she looks good. She beats the hell out of Tim Cook for me, I have to say.
Maybe not even just focus on the looks, because that is what's going to get you in trouble. She is a good speaker. She's a good presenter.
I don't know that. That's the point. That's exactly the point, because I don't know that, Tom. I've never seen her speak.
She's and done well, and she's reasonably well-spoken. She could stand up in front of a room full of people and say, here's our mobile strategy going forward. The problem is, she's never going to be judged on her own merit. No matter what she does, even if she turns everything around, everybody's going to be looking for the man behind her that helped her pull it off.
No.
Nobody's going to be able to look at her and go, she did this as the CEO. She was given rein to do what she wanted to do. And what she did was turn Yahoo into a successful company. And then what's going to happen if she doesn't turn it around? If it turns out that Yahoo is just too ridiculously off track, then they're going to be... she's going to be blamed for failing, not because she didn't make a good decision, but because she is a woman. So there's never going to be a way that she is going to come out of this looking okay. So the fact that she signed up for that, because she can't be a stupid woman in tech to advance as far as she did at Google and then move over to Yahoo.
Exactly.
Well, there's no way that she went into this thinking that it was going to end well for her no matter what. And so for her to have signed up to do it anyway, to me, is probably the most impressive thing she's done so far.
But I don't get, you see, that's the interesting thing is, I don't look at Marissa taking over at Yahoo and see it as A, she's a pretty face, because she cannot not be a savvy woman and have got into right. that position. That's just mindless to think that. And I don't look at her and think, whatever you say, Marissa's fine because you're easy on the eye. She's clearly got some business savvy behind her. But the question is, exactly what James is saying there, I haven't seen the big event where Marissa can stand up and clearly show that she's in control. This is
her
vision.
2 years in the job, for goodness sake. Yeah, she hasn't even been there a year.
Right.
This
really?
Is a company that has been in ruins for a decade. Mm-hmm. I would say give her a little time to pull it all together.
Well, you say that, though, but the pressure is really on her from the media. I mean, the fact we're talking about her now, as opposed to Mark Zuckerberg.
We've got a whole feature.
Exactly. We never did a Mark Zuckerberg jingle.
Yeah, but that'd be pointless.
Yeah, but I think it's because, and this is where I disagree with you a little bit, Kelly. I think it's because people actually are cheering for her in the Valley. They're like, yes,
yeah.
She might actually be able to pull this brand out of the doldrums. And everybody's getting impatient for that to happen.
Well, yeah, I think part of, maybe they're because they are people who have worked with her or worked with people who have worked with her. In the Valley, people who are much closer to this probably are, in fact, excited about it. And, you know, maybe they really do want her to and you know, are more than willing to give her the credit and hopefully the time to do so. The problem I have is not necessarily with people in the Valley. It's with people. Because when was the last time a corporate decision by any tech company was something that made it on the network evening news in the United States? Because before Marissa Mayer said, y'all need to come to the office, I cannot remember the last company decision. Not releases, like we all know the iPhone
Steve
makes
Jobs,
news.
That's the only one. And Bill Gates before in the 90s. That's it.
Yeah, like before that, any company decision. Maybe when Steve stepped back before he passed away, that might be the last company decision that made network news. And that's been almost 2 years ago now.
Yeah, so, What is making network news? This is the crazy thing. I saw again another tweet. They were damning the BBC because the BBC played out this thing that said Samsung is now becoming now acceptable as being a cool product. You know, it's being respected. The Samsung Galaxy phone is having the kind of the same sense as the iPhone in kind of the acceptable side of cool. And the BBC were reporting that as a story, and it turns out that it was at the ad agency that's owned by Samsung's ad agency that fed the story.
Nuh-uh.
And, yeah. And they were recording that as news.
That was a survey.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Huh.
Point from Batwitch in the chat room, which is what I find really quite interesting. And I'm trying to stall so I can find it again because it's disappeared. If she was a bloke, would the media focus on her so much? And my point to that would be, whatever attribute, how do people listen to what I say? Well, I block light in doorways. You know, and that gets me that 60 seconds of who's that? Whatever that facet you have is, that's what you play on. That's what you use to create opportunities and fulfill the realization of your vision. Whatever gets you through the door. And if people are saying that this is because she's a woman who looks great, then that's fine, but there has to be more substance behind that, or she wouldn't have got where she's at. And people
right.
would,
it's also
would
because
listen
of what
to
she did
her.
At Google.
Exactly.
It's because of her defense of the minimalistic design on the homepage. It's the fact that she was just at Google for a long period of time and one of the originals, maybe not the original originals, but a long time employee. But it's both. Those are both elements that are building this.
Yeah. Right.
I wonder though, if we're talking more about Marissa Mayer than we are about Yahoo. And is it going to be made or broken on her rather than what actually Yahoo has to offer? Because as it stands at the moment, Yahoo hasn't got a massive amount to offer.
Well, you've answered your own question there, James. What would we do to talk about Yahoo if it wasn't for the fact that someone who's got an opportunity to turn it around and who probably has got the brains to bring off some change, what on earth would we say about you?
And this reinforces Kelly's point, actually. Nothing. That the amount of pressure that she's under to be able to deliver this is just enormous. And, you know, fair play to her that she's taken it on.
With a baby as well as.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Credit.
The last time we saw something like this, where the CEO of the company became the celebrity and the face of the company on a very grand scale, I would say was when Steve Jobs came back to Apple.
Yep.
And it's okay for that person to be the entire face of the company and for everything to ride on them, as long as they're qualified to do what they need to do. And I think Marissa is. And pulling some of that focus away from the company itself and onto the rock star image, I think that can be a good thing for the company, because now so much of what Yahoo's doing, they can do while the media focuses on Marissa. Mm-hmm. Just like Apple was able to do so much of what it did to fix itself.
That's a good analogy.
Because the media was focused on Steve Jobs. And in that case, happened to be a guy, now it's a woman, and whatever, if it, as long as it works out for the company in the best way possible, there you go. That's what matters in the end.
But I think the thing is with Steve, and I can't see Marissa actually achieving this, because she's not got the same advantages that Steve has in terms of the company that she's got behind her, is Steve became a cult figure because of the fact that he was able to come up with these revolutionary products that, you know, absolutely everybody out there wanted. And, you know, it was it was a marketing's dream, because he managed to create a brand that
he became the legend, didn't he?
That was what made Steve Jobs
and that
special.
Totally played in his
I don't see Marissa reason. Meyer, no matter how good she is, because, and it's not about her, it's about the company that she is. Yahoo aren't suddenly going to become the new Apple in terms of creating the new brand that everybody wants. I'm sorry, but that isn't going to happen.
Oh,
but they
not.
Might become the new Google. And Steve Jobs didn't invent the iPod. Steve Jobs didn't invent the iPhone. He was just great at selling it and explaining it,
the ace
and managing the process.
In terms of actually creating something that somebody wanted, maybe from something he invented, maybe from something that he took something that was already out there. You know, there were MP3 players around before the iPod and so on and so forth, but he took it and made it so that everybody wanted it, which is, you know, from that point of view, and the position he was in, was an absolute dream for.
Okay, so taking him as the archetype, my fellow historians, how long was it before Steve Jobs, when he returned to Apple, gave his first keynote?
Instant.
Keynote, yes.
It was right quick, if I remember.
Yeah, it was. It was right away. It was the next Macworld.
Like, he showed up in the summer, I want to say, and then
Macworld
August
Boston.
Or something. Yeah. And then January was, hi, look at this iMac, isn't it awesome?
I was going to say, I think the critical question there is not how long until he gave his first keynote, but how long before he started producing he had the first product on the market that actually started to create that image.
And that would be the iMac.
Right.
Yeah.
Which the chat room is pointing out was a bit more Ive-esque, but... Okay.
And I do think it's a little bit comparing apples and oranges to compare Yahoo and Apple. It's a product company and a content company, essentially.
No.
Even though you can argue whether it's content or portal, et cetera.
But I know
comparing them to Google is a better situation. It's just Google's never been in the state of disrepair that Yahoo's been in.
But I think Jeff's point was the fact of having someone iconic come back or come to and take control of was the comparison.
Well, the comparison not there would be Jerry Yang taking back over, and that didn't work.
Yeah, but Jerry Yang was no Steve Jobs, whereas I think that's the point that Jeff's making is this woman's got presence. She's got that ability to hold the press and get people to listen to what she has to say. But at this point, I don't see a lot, certainly in the coverage that I follow on the tech, I don't see a lot of videos of her talking and holding the ear of people, which she could do, and she can do, most definitely.
I don't think she's anywhere near as good as Steve Jobs.
No, that's a time issue.
I'm not talking about as a marketeer or anything like that. I'm talking about as a business person.
Few people are. I mean, very few people can get up in front of a room and hold their attention the way he could.
But that's what makes Steve special.
Yeah, well, I can say that because really I've been there. I was there for the iPhone Steve note. I know full well of what I speak. Like, I sat there, I got up at 3:00 in the morning and stood in that line and had forgotten completely about it by the time he took the stage. Because after a couple of minutes of listening to him speak, I didn't care what time it was. I didn't care how long I'd been up. And watching him debut something that he was really excited about was really awesome. And very few people have that kind of charisma and that kind of thing that, that scales to more than just the few people that you want to talk to around a conference room table or whatever. Very few people can stand in a room and hold that kind of attention.
See, there you
go.
And
on top of that, he had the business sense. Everybody knows he was not the technical guy. He wasn't designing circuit boards for iPods. He wasn't like telling people how to optimize the engineering in the A6 chip for the new iPhone. Nothing like that at all. But he was the person who knew how to give people what they needed, not what they wanted, not what they asked for. How to give people what they needed. And too many buttons. It's too big. It's this, you know, it should be this shape. It should be thinner. It should be taller, whatever. That was his jam. And there aren't a lot of people who have that kind of skill, period, let alone have refined it to the edge to which he had refined it.
So you said scales there, Kelly. Bread, fish, see?
Well, that takes us right the way back to the beginning of this thing, where Marissa hasn't actually gone out there yet to set to set her stall out.
I think she should.
I'm just wondering if it's just a matter of time.
I'm with Tom on this. I think you need to give her more time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's coming from further back than Steve was when he went back to Apple.
No question.
Don't you all wish Samsung had taken more time with their announcement of the S4?
I think the problem, though, is that she's going to run up against a wall in a hurry because she's been there how long?
Seven months.
I was going to say it's just about 6 months. So she's been there 7 months, and the problem she's going to run up against is that Yahoo is a public company, and shareholders have a lot of ADD, and shareholders are... When you hear about boards and you hear about shareholders and you hear about unrest, what you tend to hear about is how basically they're all toddlers. Now. How about now? How about now? Are you making money now? How about now? Are you profitable now? How about now? How about now? How about now?
And but not only are they toddlers, but they're also
I'm afraid that she's not going to get a chance to succeed.
Your video is flickering perfectly in time with the nows there, Kelly.
They're frighteningly influential. They are both toddlers and the real power behind it. So yeah, you're in a losing battle unless you know how to, but then again, she's got young children, so she should know how to deal with a toddler.
Here's hoping. But that's the thing that concerns me, is that at 6 months, I feel like maybe now, only now, does she know her way around, you know, can find everybody without help, recognizes everybody, you know, like the basics of starting a new job, basically. Remember that on top of running the whole thing, she has to find out where all the conference rooms are, how do you get the coffee refilled, blah, 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 all the little things that go into getting a new gig. And so now that she's finally like settled in, now is it starting to be time where I'm like, okay, let's see what she can do.
No, okay. So, while you talk about directors and the issues of investors, HP's under a lot of fire. The board has survived by the skin of their teeth, is the title on PC Pro's blog. Lane, managing partner at high-powered Silicon Valley venture capital firm Kleiner Perkins, fellow venture capitalist Mark Anderson, other board members have come under fire from shareholders for one of the company's costliest acquisitions mistakes in years. Has HP got some serious problems under Meg, or is Meg another one who's trying to really grasp onto something that's a bit of a slippery eel? Go on, Jeff.
All right, so Meg came in to an absolute disaster. But by the time she took the reins, HP was in a position where the company was seriously considering dumping their most profitable division, which is their PC division. And that made no sense to me. And there was chaos between all the divisions. The product line across the board was in chaos. And what she walked into was basically a building full of toddlers all on fire, running around screaming. And that's what she's had to deal with. To try and fix, and she has done a lot, and some of the things she's done, I wish she would have approached in a different way, but overall, I think she's doing a good job, because I mean, how fast can you bail to save a sinking ship? And she's actually keeping HP as a viable company.
And I mean, so, HP is still massive, isn't it? It's enormous. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's an insanely large company that needed to to be reined in complete. It was completely out of control. And she's put divisions together. She did the way she approached WebOS, I was disappointed in, although what she did made sense, which was to spin it off or just kind of let it go. Because it was a purchase that HP shouldn't have made, but they should not. And she was stuck with what was left, which was the tatters of WebOS. And she said, oh no, we're still behind it. We're giving it to the open source community. What she should have said was, yeah, we really aren't, we can't do anything with this right now. So open source community, have at it. And that would have been a much better way to present what they did. And yeah, but still, the fact that the entire board was on the verge of being dumped. Okay, this is the same board that said, yeah, sure, you want to dump the most profitable part of the company? Go for it.
That's an indictment. I mean, it's not been good. Meg's kind of the only one that seems to have a sensible voice in the wilderness. Go on, Kelly.
I'm just amazed that they're still there, knowing the kinds of decisions that they have made in the past. And, I mean, say what you will about the last guy, Apotheker, was that who it was?
Yeah, Leo.
Yeah, Leo.
Say what you will about his year in the big chair, but he couldn't have done any of the goofy stuff that he did completely alone. There's no way that the board, that people on the board didn't have some inkling of what was coming at least once or twice with stuff that he was doing.
No, they had to approve most of what he was doing.
Yeah, so these are people who said okay to all that goofy crap that basically got him shown the door.
But they say in the report that they actually blamed the previous CEO for a lot of the stuff that went wrong. So although they may have agreed to it, they've got their scapegoat.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, that'll only get you so far, though. Isn't there some joke about like the new guy becomes the prime minister or whatever, and he opens his desk and there's two letters, and the first one says, you know, it says the first one is the first time the first time it hits the fan, open this envelope. So you open it and it says, you know, all you have to do is blame the previous guy. You know, and like, you can only get so far with that kind of defense, because again, they had to have known something about what he was doing, even if whether they agreed to it or not. They, you know, and they seem to be happy to make him the bad guy, even though they had a part in it. So, you know, blame the bank robber all you want, but if you're blaming him from your seat behind the wheel in the getaway car, you're not entirely guilt-free here.
They're also blaming Autonomy, trying to claim fraud, and the former Autonomy CEO is disputing that.
Carry on, Tom.
Shenanigans.
No, just saying that it seems like the biggest controversy here is over the purchase of Autonomy, and they're trying to blame, the board is trying to say, oh, we were lied to, it was fraud. And the former Autonomy CEO Lynch is like, no, it wasn't. They knew exactly what they were getting, they just messed up.
Was this the chipmakery thing, the UK firm? They paid something like 12 billion for
11 billion.
Yeah. Because that was kind of weird at the time. That just came out of really out of left field. There was nowhere that looked like it was a vision for the future, or it was like I got $5 left in my pocket. What shall I have? I know I'll have a soda.
Yeah.
Yeah. So going forward, do they need to just put their faith in Meg? Because so far...
No, that would be stupid. But, okay.
Thanks for that. No, that's okay. Go ahead.
All you need.
If the board and the investors just blindly put their faith in Meg... That's a really bad idea, because basically that sets them up for another Leo Apotheker situation, although I don't think that's what Meg would do. They need to hold everyone accountable. The board needs to be held accountable, and these people need to justify what it is that they want to do. And I think while that may delay some decisions that the company and that Meg want to make, in the grand scheme of things, I think that will be much better, because this whole thing of toddlers running out of control everywhere, that's not a way to make.
Well, this is
work.
This is it though. In the wonderful clear air of a podcast where we can actually say what we think coherently about these things and come up with
these. That's not just before you issue a libelous statement that I'm going to end up carrying the can for, by the way, James.
We are here thinking this through. That makes a great deal of sense. But when you've got people for whom it's a case of, we need to maximise profit, you got shouting across the boardroom tables, that's a really difficult thing to deliver, a really hard thing to pull off. And it just could end up being a mess.
So much of it's emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Apparently, Johnny Winter in the chat room says that I've got it completely wrong. They weren't a chip maker. Autonomy's unique meme-based technology is able to make sense and process unstructured human information and draw real business value from that meaning.
Structured data.
You put that.
It was part of a, because the plan under Herd was desktop sales are going to fall apart. Let's get into making phones. Let's buy Palm.
The stripper
and
guy.
They botched that. So they brought in Apotheker who said, well, if we're not going to go that direction, then we should go the IBM direction and become a big data solutions provider. Autonomy. And then they
Which got makes rid sense, of him. Because that's what he was before.
Yeah, exactly. And so when Meg Whitman came in, it was like, okay, we're not going to go the direction of being a better consumer maker with phones, and we're not going to go the big data direction like IBM. So go, Meg. What are we going to do?
Mm. Nothing.
Talk about taking a bad position, a no-win situation. HP's like the Kobayashi Maru.
That's awesome.
So you need to cheat it. Is that, Kelly, is that your delay on your microphone there that was rubbing? Or?
Oh, I was just adjusting my headset. That could have been it.
Okay, maybe. That's fine.
In 200 years' time, we'll be looking back at the HP thing. We'll call it the, yes, it will be the, should we take him through the HP test?
Yeah, HP will be owned by Yahoo.
He was the only man to ever take the HP test and win.
A woman.
Or, yeah,
it'll
this
totally
case,
be
right.
A woman.
Press regulation in the UK has got some increases. As a result of the Leveson inquiry, there's some guidelines come out, supposedly, for press going forward. And bloggers are upset that they're going to be covered by it. Huffington Post Carla Boozy said that the body's remit relating to the internet was unclear, but political blogger Ian Dale said that it definitely covered him as a blogger.
I think that's really important because, I mean, with the newspapers actually going more online, and as time goes on, they're going to get more and more of their readership that way. You've got to think of blogs as in the same light because they're not much different from, the press being online, really, are they?
My question would be where the internet suddenly became this thing that could be completely unregulated by all reasonable and moralistic voice. I mean, it can't not be. So the fact that the commission's inquiry is actually pertaining to what you write on an online blog surely isn't wrong. I mean, you're still held for liable, etc. with it.
Exactly. So. That's the whole point, why it should be covered by the same standards.
And presumably podcasting as well.
Yeah, in theory, all online media should be counted the same.
That means the French are going to sue me now.
Sacrebleu.
Yeah. Sacrebleu. Yes,
that was just an opinion, and you're entitled to your opinion.
Are you?
I heard that the French have struck
this week.
As I'm
scanning this article, I'm thinking, no, you're not entitled to your opinion.
Yeah.
As a UK journalist, blogger, or podcaster. Wow. This is actually really scary. I think you should be really upset and concerned.
We should be very careful what we say. We always are.
Well, the problem they've passed stuff like this in the United States, or they've tried to prosecute people under these sorts of things. And what ends up happening at this point, because there's not a very clear line as far as what makes a journalist or what makes just a blogger or whatever, is that people will use whatever sort of connection, like, I have a blog and you should talk to me and you should give me exclusive whatever. And then when it hits the fan, it's like, oh, but I just have this little website. I'm not press.
Mm. That's exactly and it. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how influential some of these people are.
Yeah.
And the problem.
I mean, and also, what's the difference between a daily newspaper online, which, let's face it, the probably online readership is probably not that high, and someone who gets an awful lot of hits on their blog, either on a daily or a weekly basis. In terms of the influence, not a great deal of difference. So Tom, why shouldn't they all be covered by the same thing?
Tom, you had a point there.
I was actually going to say mostly what Kelly said. So I agree with her. It's in the United States, we've had this discussion around things like shield laws and liability and FTC regulations. And it's always like, I am a legitimate news source if I want to be protected by the shield law. But no, I'm just a blogger if I'm going to be held liable for FTC regulations. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, and it seems like in most of these discussions as they carry on and everybody has the Sturm und Drang around them, that it ends up being what is the reach and what is the public interest in the content that's being reported. And it seems like, I agree with Jeff, that this is a very concerning regulation that the government is putting on the press in the UK. But their definition of what constitutes journalism on a blog and what's not actually isn't that bad. They're saying it's multiple people working on it. It has a certain number of subscribers that's considered significant. And so it has reach and it has significance. Mm.
The problem we have is that there yes. has to become case law to be able to judge that line. And that is gonna hurt and bankrupt and cause a lot of pain to some well-meaning people. I mean, Bat went in the chat room, has got a blog, and she was asking, what's the difference between a blogger, what counts as a blogger, me and my little blog, or those who get onto the HuffPost thingy? Both of those are bloggers. Both of those are publishing material to the internet. I mean, I could, you know, many is the time I've wanted to start my own blog, mainly because I could get free samples of stuff that I could do reviews for. Hey, free stuff, I like that. But that makes me responsible for publishing something which is in the public domain and is therefore regarded as having to be fair. What I don't understand, however, is where the legal boundaries are. If I am in the UK writing a blog on a UK server, is that under UK jurisdiction?
Yeah.
I thought the internet was international.
This is a problem. This is always going to be a problem, isn't it?
No, I think to a certain degree it pertains to where the origins and where the keystrokes were made. I mean, if you look at our blog, we've got a guy in Sweden who does a lot of blogging for us, but we'd be held liable for anything that he wrote because of the fact that we're titled as the British Tech Network.
Yeah, and so, ultimately we have editorial control over that.
Exactly. But I mean, I think the other thing is that's quite important is that from a libel viewpoint, that's not going to change anyway from what you've got in these regulations. What it's saying, I think, is clearly if you're clearly expressing your opinion, all you've got to do is before a blog was an ideal of the fact that you were expressing a personal, it was a soapbox. It was no different than going and standing on the corner of Hyde Park with your set of steps and shouting out whatever you fancied. But the difference was when you stood on the corner of Hyde Park and you shouted whatever you fancied, people looked at you in a certain way as being the person who did that. Whereas the problem with a blog is it's gone away from being a soapbox and it's actually now a news feed as well as. And it's whether you're actually saying, here's the truth, or here's what someone else has told me is the truth.
Well, not only is it becomes a new feed, it is there for perpetuity. The archive.org will have grabbed hold of it. It'll be in the Wayback Machine. That has been published. It's there now.
The way I read this, I don't think you're going to have any issue whatsoever with anything that you write, as long as you clearly infer it is your opinion. It won't be libelous. It won't be deemed to be news. It won't deemed to be in breach of the Press Complaints Commission. It will be something that is your opinion, providing you clearly say, this is my opinion.
Yeah, like the bit, you see a lot on a lot of the journalists, particularly the BBC, on their Twitter feeds and have, you know, these opinions are my own, not those of the BBC type approach towards it, then are you saying that therefore you'll be okay?
Still don't think you need a commission to be doing this, though.
I think the problem that you've got, Tom, is the fact that the press will use anything at their disposal to get out whatever sells newspapers or sells hits to a website, and it's an attempt more probably to restrict the anathema that you've said of here's the real news. Actually, no, I'm only a blog. I think that's where it cuts through. I can't see the British Tech Network, no matter what we publish, ever being criticised under these guidelines.
Yeah,
Go ahead,
sir. Oh no, I was just going to say. I think this is a really interesting area because, you know, sort of following on from what I was saying about you know, everything that published online is should be treated the same, whether you're just a little blog or whether you're actually trying to get, you know, a lot of people reading it, and you do, and then you succeed the same way. But ultimately, the content that you're publishing should be, it really shouldn't matter. And the influence that you get from that, it shouldn't matter the same. You know, if you say something on there or you publish something that is untrue, it should be treated in the courts the same way as it would as if it was published in a national newspaper, whether that be online or on, you know, an online site.
Well, unfortunately, the problem there you have is that one blog can say something which is untrue, then that can be printed on Twitter by somebody taking the blog and expressing it as something which is potentially untrue. And therefore, you get the whole McAlpine thing where one person can go, right, you guys have just all said something about me. Perfectly legitimately, he can say, I can take you all to court.
Yes, and just for argument's sake, and that's an interesting scenario, because to me, the person that should be sued for that was the person that published it first. So if I, for instance, on my tweet, I wanted to make a reference to that. If I said I've just seen on so and so's blah 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 blah, then that's fine, because all I'm doing is repeating what's already in the public domain. But it's the person that publishes it, the first case, that I think is the one that is ultimately responsible.
I wonder if there should be something on the national curriculum that says, if you're going to post something on the internet, whatever you do, you take responsibility for it. This is how you should do it, to save yourself the embarrassment and the hassle of ending up being sued. Because people don't, it is ignorance in a lot of respects. People don't know that that's what they need to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think you do have to, you know, I don't say anything or put anything online that I wouldn't be prepared to stand up in court and defend. Because I see it, you know, okay, I'm not on national telly talking about this, on BBC One talking about, the latest tech news, but I view it in the same way, and I'm not going to start having a go at, you know, slandering somebody just because I'm on the internet instead of actually on national television.
I think there's an issue here as well, because there's a couple of points being made in the chat room now about surely that, you know, this wouldn't happen in the States because there's freedom of speech. You can't go on to mainstream media in the US and call someone a child molester and not expect a legal retribution from that. Absolutely. That is not what free speech is. Correct me if I'm wrong, the Americans on the podcast. That's not what freedom of speech is about. In this country, we sit and look at freedom of speech in the States and we think it's carte blanche to say what the hell you like, and it's not. Absolutely, it's not.
No, but there's no commissioner. There's nothing but the courts for recourse, and the burden of proof is always on the person who the speech was about. And there are very high levels of burden, like actual malice. You can actually say that person is a child molester and win in court if you honestly thought they were a child molester and you just happened to be wrong. What you can't do is, with what's called actual malice, try to defame someone when you know for certain they weren't. So the burdens of proof are actually very high. But what keeps people from doing that isn't the fact that the law is against that. What stops people from doing that is the backlash that people get. The conversation is so free that it tends to self-regulate, and with exceptions here and there, of course. But for the most part, people just know, like, well, you just don't do that because people won't take you seriously anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
The other thing that goes hand in hand with freedom of speech, at least for me, is you can say whatever you'd like to say. And it is, you know, you have the right to say something that maybe I disagree with, say something that maybe isn't popular. I have the right not to listen to you. I have the right to disagree. And I have the right not to pay any attention to you at all if I've decided that you are a raving lunatic.
But the thing is with that, Kelly, you're absolutely right. That comes back to what we were saying about it being an opinion rather than fact.
Yeah.
Sarah. Therefore, you know, everybody's got a right to have an opinion about something or somebody and to say that. But it's when you actually try to make something sound as fact, that's when it's going to get you into trouble.
Well, and that's where US law is different, is that if you think it's a fact, even if it's not, you have the protection of freedom of speech. It's a very different line.
That's crazy.
What if you're trying to be funny?
Well, then there's and then
now
you
it's
parody.
Satire.
Thank you, Chief Justice Rehnquist. In the 70s, ruled. Yeah, if it's parody, you know, and you can tell that it's parody, then you're fine. Do whatever you want.
That's equally true here in the States.
The things they do because it's obviously parody and obviously satire.
Yeah, but that's equally true here in the UK. We had Not the 9 o'clock News in the 70s, and that said stuff that was absolutely ridiculous, but it was clearly a satire, and it didn't get fourth out of the law. The chat room is saying
image as well.
And I've got to say, Spitting Image, absolutely. Spitting Image was the nth degree of that.
I love Spitting Image.
Yes. The chat room is saying that Kelly's delay on audio is about 20 seconds compared to lip sync. And Sarah's, yours is about 10. So that whole thing there where there's like four people talking and two of them are you without saying anything. So crazy. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. We say it every week, but every week they pick up the bandwidth charge, which would cost us £500 a month. So thank you to everyone who supported UK2. There's a few really nice tweets. Neil Crockham tweeted out this week and said he'd bought a domain and domain hosting and stuff with UK2. I've had a really lovely email from a guy which I forwarded on to UK2. They were very happy about that. They've got good traffic, unquote, from the British Tech Network. Inadvertently, whether you like it or not, every time you buy from UK2 and use our click-through and our offer codes, you keep us afloat. If they disappeared, we'd disappear. We just don't have the money. I don't make £500 a month on this network to pick up the bandwidth charge that we consume. So please, please, please keep using UK2. Use our website to get to them. Use the offer codes that they provide for you. You'll get some fantastic deals as well. So you can't go wrong, and the customer service from UK2 is second to none, and anyone that tweets out otherwise, I always tweet back and say, you're wrong, you're absolutely wrong. And we've got so many listeners who say that I'm right, that UK2's customer service is brilliant. So, and you don't have to be in the UK, you can use them anywhere in the world. There you go.
Indeed.
You still get your money off, you still get your 20% off, no matter what.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Will I be subject to your press commission?
Nope.
All right.
You said you're
fair enough.
Blogger.
All right.
You're
well,
away.
Okay.
Up and running. You could take your coffee shop blog, Jeff, and you could run it there.
Oh, sweet.
Good. UK2, brilliant for tech, brilliant for British Tech Network. Right. Have we got a cool thing? Mr. Hart, do you want to start us off?
I do, and I will. Unfortunately, this is a little bit Windows only, so I apologise in advance. because I do quite a lot of coding, and I like to do sort of stuff in a notepad. I mean, you know, just copy and paste stuff, change things around. My brother told me about something called SCITE. It's a Scintilla-based notepad thing, and it is amazingly powerful. So you've got Notepad++, you've got sort of designer's notepad. What's it called? Programmer's notepad. But this one is the one I use most of all, not least because the search and replace capabilities are amazing. It does regex. It just does amazing stuff. And so I just thought I'd throw it out there. If you're interested, you go to scintilla.org and look for it. It's free and therefore great. The other thing I was going to say is I've got a couple of games that I play with my kids, word-based games, which are quite fun. One is called Four Pictures, One Word, which I may have done the other week. And the other one is called What's the Picture, which is just these sort of guessing games where you see a picture. It's just a no-brainer stuff if you're doing your commute or your morning motion or whatever it is. It's just a quick thing to play with. So if you type it in the App Store or your Google Play thing, it's called Four Pictures, One Word, or What's the Picture? Guessing games. Very good fun.
Excellent pick, sir. Thank you very much. Please put your selections in the doc, if you would, so that Miles, who's a fabulous bloke who does all our show notes each week, can grab them rather than have to go and look for them after listening to the shows, which takes him bloody ages. Thomas, what do you have for us, sir?
We were doing a story this morning on the show about how Facebook has sort of reached a saturation point in Asia as the top social network. And in fact, it's messaging apps that are the things that are capturing especially the young people's attention for social communication. In Japan, Twitter has been dethroned by an app called Line. So I downloaded it and I was trying it out. It's available for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and BlackBerry. Also on the web, OS X, Windows, and even a Windows 8 tiled app. And super incredibly simple setup. And then you can message anybody who also has it and is signed up. You can send videos. You can send pictures. You can make video calls. There's crazy stuff that, you know, like if you're probably not going to care about, like stickers that you can send to your friends and weird stuff like that. But it's just a really interesting upcoming phenomenon where people are kind of moving away from what are now considered old fashioned things like Facebook and just doing these direct connections. And it's so darn simple. You just put in your phone number. It sends you a text with a number, and you don't even have to leave the app. You see the notification come up. You type in the confirmation number. You're in. It'll scan your contacts list if you let it, find anybody else. It, you know, it's definitely one of those things where if you don't know anybody else that uses it, it's not going to be that useful. But I mean, it's really, really interesting.
No, it is. Very interesting.
Right now.
Excellent. Give it a go. Sarah, what do you have for us to go?
Since I've got my Nexus 10, one of the apps that I've actually used quite a lot on here, this is not new, but it's revolutionary for me, is this application called TV Catch-Up. I don't know if you guys have come across it. Obviously, I don't want to show any live TV streams here, but it's got loads of British stations on it, and it's actually changed the way I actually watch telly. Really has. In the Android store. I don't know. Is it available on the iPad? I assume it must be.
I don't know, because I've always used it via a browser. So.
Oh, right. And the interesting thing is that there's I don't know whether they actually just have won a court case or they are fairly confident of winning a court case, which should mean that they're going to be around for much longer, because there was some issues about rights issues and stuff like that in terms of broadcasting. But yeah, great app. You know, great choice of stations in there. So I don't know. Unfortunately, it's only available in the UK. I don't know if there's a US version. Is it something you're aware of, guys, in the US?
I've heard about the UK version, but I haven't seen a US one.
Okay. Right. Yeah, neither have I.
Apparently, Adam says that it is available for iOS. So.
Oh, great. Okay. I would be surprised if it wasn't. But yeah, it's as I say, I know I'm aware it's been around for a while, but I've literally only discovered it in the last 2 weeks. So it's great.
Excellent. Mr. Gamet, how do you have for us, sir?
All right. I have something that is Mac, Windows, Linux compatible, and as of just a few days ago, Steam as well.
Ooh.
And it's a game. It's called Kerbal Space Program. And what it is, it's a spaceflight simulator, but unlike a lot of the simulators where you just hop down in your little spaceship and you have to try and land or fly around the galaxy, whatever, with this, you have to build your rockets, build your spaceships, you can build space stations, you can visit other planets in the solar system that they have given you. You can fly to the moon around the planet Kerbal. And the physics are a really big part of the game. So you have to build rockets that will actually fly. Then you have to fly them. And you have to take into account how much fuel you have, the mass of your rockets, and where you're trying to go. And presumably you want to bring your astronauts back. So you have to take all of these things into account, and it's fairly realistic, and it's just amazingly cool and stunningly addictive. You can get a free demo and play it as much as you want, but it's limited in the parts that it has. The full version, which is $23 US, and I'm not sure what that is in euros.
£15-ish.
It's so in euros, it's probably like 12, but anyhow, it's a really cool application. It's loads of fun, and I found it to be stunningly addictive. Kerbal Space Program.
Download.
No nookie.
In a minute. Yeah, no, 30 seconds in space. No.
Yeah, maybe in one of the updates.
Maybe that's all it is, actually. The demo version is the whole thing apart from the sex.
Right. So, of course, having paid for it, you can understand why I love to play the game all the time.
Absolutely. Kelly, what have you got for us, girl? Yes.
Okay. So, I know I've told you guys I'm not super big on Kickstarter, but I've only done like 3 things, and this is one of them. I think I told you guys about it when I funded it, but I didn't tell you about it now that I have one. And it's called the Mobi Lens. and it's this little clippity-doo-dah. And what you do is there's the lens bit on this side, and then it's just a clip. So what you get is then it'll fit on whatever camera you like. So on my iPhone, I can put it on, and there's my... And it gives you, you can have a macro or a wide angle or a fisheye. There's a few options. And this bit comes off and you can flip it around. It's similar to the Olloclip, except that it's not custom. So if I wanted to make sure that I was improving my EyeSight camera, I could take it off and just clip it to my EyeSight camera. And this is probably going to freak out my video. But, you know, I'm on the fisheye right now, so you can see the change that it makes. But the nice thing about it is that it clips to anything. So it's compatible with the camera in this computer, the one in my other computer, my iPhone, my old iPhone, my iPad.
You could break Windows that machine, and use the lens on your own eye.
You probably could.
Just take the spring out, fold it right back, and stick it over your own eye.
But the cool thing about it to me is that it fits on everything and it's been thoughtfully designed, and that it's got some padding right here so that when I do clip it on my camera or on my phone, I'm not scratching anything with plastic. And I really like it. It's super handy. It's not the smallest thing, but it does come with a lens cap. Where'd it go? Right here. I have a lens cap, so if I do want to toss it in my bag or in my pocket and take with me, at least I'm mildly protected. And yeah, that's it. You can get them off of their website. The Kickstarter obviously was successful. And you can get them for, I don't remember how much, but let me see if I can pull the store up really quick and check. The fisheye is, they're $40, and then you can add additional lenses beyond that. And they come in a bunch of colors. I liked the blue. And so there you go. And I really like it because it doesn't matter how thick the new phone is, the next iPhone is, or how thin the next iPad is, I will still have a lens that I can use to improve my photography a little bit.
Excellent. And Mark in the chat room has said it's handy for clipping your potato chip bag closed afterwards.
Yeah, whatever, Mark.
Oh, that was, I thought that was a good point.
He's giving me grief is what he's doing. But I thought it was a very good idea because that's been my problem all along is I've had a hard time. I've wanted an Olloclip. I've wanted the new thing from Photo Jojo, whatever it may be, because they're always custom. And so if I get a new phone that's a little thicker or a little thinner, that is now obliterated. So it's kind of a bummer. That's why I was really into MobiLens, is because I'm like, hey, no matter what the next phone looks like, the 5S or the iPad or my laptop camera, I always have something that will work. And that was the thing about this that made me happy. So that's why I helped to fund it.
Good. Mark in the chat room is deeply hurt.
I'm sure he is. He's a big boy. He'll get over it.
Oh, mate, you're in trouble. My pick. Now here's the thing, because we love 12 South. I did tweet out originally and say that I didn't like one of the products, and but Andrew has been wonderful in his support of this network and rectification of his product, good customer services. But I went to see 12 South this week. I went to see You Exposed, which was down at the Museum of Film in Covent Garden. And just as an aside, really, from my pick, because I saw some stuff there that I really liked. But Andrew has agreed to carry on supporting us with the odd giveaway here and there. When they've got a new product coming out, they're going to launch it through us as well, which is nice. And also, he's promised that there'll be a handful of giveaways for the Bash. Tickets Yay. For the Bash are going to go on sale this week, Sarah?
It will be in the next few days.
Yes, in the next few days on the website, you'll be able to find them. Buy your ticket for the Bash, and also then buy your reservation for the curry. And also, if you come to the Bash, you run the chance of taking away some 12 South goodies that they're going to send over as well. I'm not suggesting there's going to be goodies for everyone, but there are going to be some giveaways. But you've got to be there on the day, otherwise, I'm afraid, they're going to go to people who are there on the day. One of the things I did see, though, at CU Exposed, which really impressed me, was something that struck me as being, damn, that's logical. And it was from a company called Blue Lounge. They've got a thing called the Sudoka, and it's the wrong way around, thanks to Apple's inability to control their own metadata. But this was an iPhone stand that just laid on its back. And it actually presents it at a beautiful angle. They've also got a version of this called the Nest, which is for iPad and iPad Mini, which docks at the bottom as well as. And it just holds it back at a very, very acute angle to the desk. And it felt like a really, really useful tool. It's simple. There you go. And your block plugs in at the end. I'm not sure how much it costs, because I did talk to the guy about sending me through a sample, and he's sending me one on. So I'll have a play with it, and hopefully I can find a price. I don't get the impression that their stuff was cheap, though. The other thing that they did was the cable box and the cable box mini. And the cable box mini was great. It's a box, basically. You take all your power adapters and you put your surge protector in it, and then you just put a lid on the top of it. And that's it. I'm reliably informed that there's no fire hazard from it. So, but there you go. BlueLounge.com is where all the products are, and they're kind of cool. They're aluminium-y, and they're nice, lovely. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Hart?
Well, I was just trying to install Line on my phone, but if you know my mobile phone number, you can get me on there when I finally installed it. I just tried to get a profile picture out of my gallery, and I've got one that says, please do not power off or unplug your machine, installing update 2 of 20 is my profile picture, and I can't make it go away. So I shall have to work on that one later. Otherwise, you can find me on, oh, I don't know, most of the decent social networks as Syzygy. So yeah, SYZYGY. Tweet me.
Excellent, mate. Batwench in the chat room says, we would come to the bash if we could get any bloody tickets. All right. Point made. Sorry.
If I fly out for the bash, there's a likelihood that I'll get turned away?
No.
We would never turn you away. We would never turn somebody who even looked like you away.
It's a vain attempt at covering the costs, Jeff, because last year...
Of course.
We had some sponsors last year, which were great. The wonderful TechSmith sponsored us for the whole event. And without them, I'd probably have been about $2,000 out of pocket, so...
Ouch.
We're going to try and cover some costs a little bit on this, at least. So it's only £20 a ticket, and you get a roll with that. So food. Sorry, I said that wrong. Tom, where are you, sir? Moving on swiftly.
Wait, tell me more about this roll.
I have to pay £20 to get mugged. Man,
not that kind of roll, sweetie.
Sweet roll.
Mr. Merritt, where are you, sir?
The easiest place to keep up with all my stuff is tommerritt.com, TOMMERRITT.com. The most recent project that I'd like people to check out is on Kickstarter. A friend of mine, Len Peralta, and I are doing a comic book called 10 State. So if you look at it, you can download a free version of it. Maybe if you like it, you kick a couple bucks its way.
I was just about to say, and you've got a Kickstarter project running, so...
Yeah.
What's the style of the comic? What's the
kind of a Walking Dead style. Len says Walking Dead meets Axe Cop as far as the art goes. And the story is kind of a post-apocalyptic sort of thing. There's 10 people on a reality show that get locked in a biodome, and then the world falls apart.
Wait, is this in Seattle?
I need to check this out.
You know, we don't really sure. It could be in Seattle. We don't really ever say where they are.
Something, this sounded familiar to me, and I know I've read about it, but I don't remember why, and I thought maybe there was one that was set in Seattle that was a zombie thing like this.
Wasn't that Frasier? Oh,
crap. Now there's two?
Frasier was not a zombie.
Well, that's a matter of opinion, sir.
That's a matter of perspective.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was Frasier. Sarah, where are you going?
You can get hold of me on the Twitters at Sarah Jane UK, and also now I've finally given in and actually joined app.net, and I'm also Sarah Jane UK on there.
$20, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, I know. $36 actually.
Really? You got done? Only paid 20. Tom, I meant to say, what's the you said chuck a couple of bucks, but isn't there a thresholdy, aren't you up to additional targets now, you said?
No, with 10 State, no. We're like I think we're like 80% of the first goal. So we're trying to get past that. And then we have some stretch goals to do more issues of the book.
Cool. Best of luck, mate. Sorry. Gone back. Jeff, where are you, sir?
Well, since I'm managing editor of Mac Observer, people can find me at macobserver.com along with a bunch of other awesome writers. And you can find me on Twitter and app.net as jgamut. And if you want to see what's happening in the coffee shops I hang out at, that would be Fresh Brewed Tales. And yes, all of the ridiculously insane stuff that I read up really did happen.
Excellent, mate. It's all truth, no lies. And Kelly G, where are you, girl?
You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso. You can also occasionally find me on the Two Aught Talk cast. And I don't know, occasionally there's some guy in the UK that lets me shoot my mouth off on another show here. Yeah. And you can also sometimes find me on Angry Mac Bastards.
Excellent. You'll be here tomorrow for the Mac show?
That's what I hear.
As will Jeff.
Unfortunately, it's a little early for bourbon tomorrow, so... I guess maybe I'll have to do beer.
I hear it's never too early for bourbon.
Mm-hmm. I love you, man.
We'll be back again in 2 weeks. We won't be here next week. I'm having the week off. I'm going to have some fun with the family. I'm going to fly my little hexacopter thing and take some more video. It's not little, no. It's 3 foot across with 12-inch propellers, six of them. And it's got a battery on it that weighs 2.2 pounds.
Ouch.
So I will be flying that up and down the beach where we're going just to get some nice footage. So hopefully I'm going to put that on YouTube. But I've started another one this week, which is a Y shape, and I've got the motors running on that tonight. So hopefully I can take that one away with me as well. But it is a lot of fun. But it's a commercial project; it's not a toy. Honestly, taxman. So we'll see you in 2 weeks. No big show next week, but there is the week after. So thanks for listening.